You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
James Wyatt. Good morning, James.
Good morning. Nice to speak to you.
Well, it's absolutely hilarious, of course, that we're having trouble with communication when we want to talk about the art of discussion.
Absolutely. Very appropriate.
You couldn't make it up. This is a very, very good topic for now, isn't it? I have been saying to people for the last kind of year and a half how changed things are in our world when we used to be able to kind of walk into a bar, you know, have a discussion about pretty much anything. And if the people who were with you didn't agree with you, you didn't end up in some kind of polarized argument.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a massive frustration for me for probably quite a while, but it just feels it's got, you know, steadily worse and worse, you know, over recent times. And yeah, it just feels everything can turn into an argument now. And we don't seem to, I guess, we've lost that art of listening as well as the art of discussion in terms of taking the time to understand why people think what we do. We're just too quick to give our opinion a and that's what the books are really about.
Yeah, and we would think that because we're all kind of connected in many ways technologically that we weren't before, that would probably make it easier to be closer together. But is there an element that you've discussed when writing the book that maybe actually it's the cause of it?
It's difficult to know as to whether it's the cause or the symptom. And I think one thing that absolutely is true in the more connected world is, you know, you've always had a little bit with the newspapers having, you know, their angle or perspective, yeah. And that's what you read. But I think certainly technology really feeds you that stream of very one-directional sort of information. And we tend to sort of connect social media and even dating apps, you know, they're very much matching interests and matching sort of tastes. And so I think technology has accelerated that loss of ability to really engage with people with very different perspectives.
Yeah, I guess if you look at something like Facebook, where everyone is suddenly an expert, they're all particularly epidemiologists suddenly, whereas before those voices would never be heard, and for a very good reason, because they're not epidemiologists, most of them. But now anybody can kind of be a keyboard warrior and get on and give their view. And that then turns into not a discussion so much as an argument.
It does, and you know, and I think it actually, you know, it's nice having a conversation like this because, you know, the reality is, you know, as soon as we hear something, you know, and we do it on the keyboard, but we do it in conversations. But as soon as we hear something we disagree with, we have that tendency to tell people we disagree with them, and rather, I guess, ask those open questions, explore why they think what they do, you know, why are you thinking that way? We tend to very quickly jump on the, well, I know better than you, and I'm going to get my opinion across. And actually, you know, a lot of the art for me is, you know, try to find out more, you know, ask them questions, understand why they think what they do before, you know, we jump in to tell them, you know, that they're wrong. Because, you know, sometimes actually, yes, you might know better, but sometimes they've got other information, a different perspective, different situation or circumstances that, yeah, quite rightly means they're going to have a very different opinion to you.
That's right.
The world is complex. You know, we're not all going to think the same. And I think sometimes we think we should, and that's just a bit naive. We're never going to think the same all the time.
And I think that's spot on. And, you know, I particularly now, when I say this is a very topical thing, obviously the main kind of point where people are falling out rather a lot is what's gone on in the last year and a half, and certain governments and individuals' responses to that, and whether that was the correct thing or the incorrect thing. And we appear to have arrived at this point where anybody who doesn't conform to the mainstream media's thinking about this is automatically wrong. And, you know, if we look back in time, you know, when Galileo went to jail for saying that the world wasn't flat and the earth didn't, in fact, have the sun revolving around it, they sent him to jail at the time for having a view. And we're kind of back there, aren't we?
I think we are, to be honest. And, you know, and I think that there's, you know, there's different things going on here, because I think we partly are there that a bit too opinionated and sort of, as you say, criticizing people who are outside the mainstream. But we've also got this really funny situation, particularly when you bring politics into it. It's particularly funny. I mean, there's so many things going on. Everybody's got an agenda. So, you know, when they're sort of criticizing a decision that's made, you know, you really don't know whether they're just wanting to put a boot in on the government or you know, whoever's given the opinion, or whether they actually genuinely disagree with the thing. So you lose sight of what you're talking about. Is it just a criticism of a government, or is it actually a criticism on that specific decision or specific policy? And, you know, the reality is, you know, there's no right or wrong decision, you know, in what we're doing at the moment. And actually, the constructive discussion helps you take the best course of action, whereas actually when it just becomes you're right, you're wrong, you did this right, you did that wrong, it just becomes oversimplified, and we don't really have a proper reason debate about what's the best thing to do.
Well, I think that's right. And a lot of this, of course, is down to the information that we are fed. And that's what's causing, in my view, the biggest problem here, because I, for one, don't trust a lot of the information that we are being fed. And quite often I'm proven to be correct in not having trusted that information. But if you blindly believe information that is either incorrect or put there for potentially nefarious reasons, and then base your whole argument on that, you're, as my mother used to say, your jacket is on a very shaky nail.
No, that's a good expression. And I think, again, you're spot on, because but both sides are a problem. I think you have, a set of people who don't really believe sort of anything, and a set of people who blindly believe everything. Yeah. And both causes problems. There was a survey, it's going back a few years, it was when Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn were to empower, but there was something like 90% of Tory voters thought Jeremy Corbyn was lying, and 90% of Labour voters thought Theresa May was lying, you know, and you're in that sort of scenario where most of the topics we have, people are either just ignoring everything because they don't believe it, or they're blindly believing everything. And we've lost that, I guess, constructive thought and just coming up with your own conclusion. There's too much blind following or blind ignoring, depending which ways it goes.
Yeah. I think when it comes to trusting politicians, I don't remember there being a politician as untrusted because of the kind of lies that he's blatantly told as our current glorious leader, Boris Johnson. And all you've got to do is Google it, and you will find stuff he has said over the years that just blatantly was not true. And without going into those details, that's a difficult thing for people, because we are supposed to trust these people because we're actually paying them to look after us.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that's been on a, and I agree with you, but it's been on a steady trajectory, really, hasn't it? I mean, you remember back, you know, what is it, 20 years, you know, when a lot of the spin started, and I think sort of truth sort of evolved into a bit of spin and sort of subtle manipulation, and then that's just gradually extended into probably more blatant, you know, saying what they think people want to hear and not worrying about the truth so much.
Yeah.
And the truth has gone out of the window a lot. It's a lot of emotive messaging, and, you know, truth and information to me is at the heart of what you should be getting to in a conversation. And yeah, it's just sort of emotive messaging now. And yeah, lost that, how important the truth actually is in discussion.
I've been in radio a very long time, and I've loved doing audience participation things. I know that you are a fan of call-in radio shows, actually, because they encourage people to engage and listen to ideas which might be outside their usual opinions. And my kind of view on this is, when I'm interviewing people, I may get somebody, a guest on, who may be controversial, but it's good to put their view there so that people can then make their own mind up and go away and have a think about that. And it may be something they didn't know before. And so those kind of interviews and phone-ins are, I think, a great thing. And I think you agree with that.
I do. I mean, it's a real guilty pleasure of mine, I have to be honest, playing in radio, because I think you get that diversity of opinion, you know, and the people who are calling in don't have the agenda, you know, that a politician or someone more influential. And, you know, just as you've described, people like you and the presenters tend to have that, approach of encouraging them to talk. And as a listener, you absolutely therefore get to hear this diversity of opinion in a way where you know, in a conversation, I might want to interrupt them and tell them that, no, you're talking nonsense, but actually you can't on the radio. And actually, you know, if the presenter guides it nicely, which you do, then it just draws out that information and you leave with that understanding that is just, so vital.
I think that's totally spot on. And as presenters, we certainly have a responsibility, and I take mine very seriously, to try and not be too forthright in my personal opinion. And if it is something that's controversial, I will tend to always say, well, look, this is what I happen to think. But of course, that's not necessarily the truth. It's up to you to make your own mind up. But here it is in front of you. And that's kind of no different to a conversation in a pub, in my view. You know, back in the good old days, we'd get somebody who is a bit of a out there character, and they'd have a few things to say, and we'd have a conversation, and you'd part company on good terms. But we appear to have lost that now, and people are called stupid and idiotic for having that view, which maybe is slightly outside of the norm, and they might be right.
Yeah, it might be, and your Galileo is a great example going all those years ago, but absolutely, they might be right. Sometimes people who, you know, they can say it in a bit of a, you know, confrontational style, and we tend to then become a bit dismissive of it, but actually that doesn't mean it's wrong. And we often get too swayed by appearance and who it's saying it, and assuming, oh, well, it's from that person, it must be right, when actually it's picking through. If, you know, if somebody's got an aggressive tone or is being a bit confrontational or being a bit extreme, actually you take the time to ask them and turn it into a reasoned conversation where you draw out that information. You know, you can get so much from that.
You can. I was talking to somebody only the other day, and they used the expression, well, you can't argue with the numbers. And as somebody who did maths at quite a high level, actually, you can argue with the numbers, because if the bloke calculating the numbers got the calculation wrong, there's very much an argument with some numbers.
Yeah, and, you know, you just with anything, if you start calculating numbers with an agenda of what you want
of
to prove
course.
The show, you can come out with what you say. So absolutely, you know, you can argue. And to me, a lot of it's, it's about trying to get to the truth at the end of the day. And I guess having that open mind, that preparedness to see both perspectives, a readiness to actually be proved wrong. You know, often if you go back, you sometimes say about the numbers, you know, if you go to science and research and that sort of thing, you know, the golden rule at the start of that is, you know, you shouldn't be presuming what you're going to find. You go with that very open, investigative mind. And really, that's what we should do in conversations. You know, you might have a strong opinion, but if somebody disagrees, just explore it with the perspective of, well, I'm really convinced about my opinion, but maybe they do know something I don't know. And if they don't, okay, well, I leave with my same opinion. But actually, if they come up with something amazing or insightful, you're ready to learn from that.
I think we always used to be ready to learn from it, and I think that's changed. Are you pessimistic or optimistic that we can kind of put the genie back in the bottle on this, or are we kind of having to work too hard now to change people's mindsets? That sometimes it's now immovable. You can't change them.
I wrote the book because I'm optimistic. I have to be honest, I'm optimistic about everything. So, yeah. That's part of my mindset. I am optimistic. I mean, I think to me, it comes down to, I guess, you know, and the reason I wrote the book really is to get it on the agenda, get people talking about it, get people to think it's, you know, important. I write at one stage, you know, like in sports, you know, obviously with the Olympics on at the moment, you know, it seemed very wrong, you know, obviously for somebody to take drugs or cheat or try to win unfairly. And yet in conversation, we don't have that concept of, you know, playing fair and following certain rules. And actually, I think if we can at times, you know, sort of park the opinion and actually think about just how are we doing that conversation? How are we discussing it? Have we got the points? And let the best argument win, not the loudest shouter or the most charismatic or whatever, but yeah. Actually just try and, you need some emotion, otherwise people will get bored.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you have too much emotion, it just loses that, you know, rationality. And I think it's getting that right balance. So I think if we can just rein in the emotion a little bit and get people engaged, but yeah, just not too swayed by personality. I do believe, but yeah, I'm optimistic about everything. So who knows?
Oh, good. Labels, of course, are important, aren't they? Labels and stereotypes when we discuss this kind of thing. And people who don't necessarily share the mainstream view are sometimes labeled nutters or conspiracy theorists or tin foil hat wearers and all of that kind of stuff. And it's very unhelpful, isn't it?
It is. And also, you know, we're never going to even, you know, I guess, as you said earlier, sometimes they could be right. But even if they're wrong, you know, you're never going to persuade them to change your mind when you just launch in and use words like that and tell them they're, you know, stupid. You know, we all know when we get criticized, we instantly become a bit more, you know, become a bit defensive. You know, even if you're not so extreme, anyone who gets criticized, you come this, you know, so those labels, those words, you know, they mean a lot because they just put those barriers up. Yeah, and again, you lose a rational conversation, but you lose any ability to persuade them if that's what you're wanting to, you know, to try and do.
Yeah. I mean, one of the moment, of course, the very big buzzwords of the moment are anti-vaxxers, which is an expression which has just suddenly cropped up now. And what's quite interesting in talking to the people who are labelled with this anti-vaxxer thing is that they're not anti-vax at all. And most of them have had loads of vaccines in their arm or up their backside, whatever, over the period of years that they've been on this planet. They're just wants to question this particular one. So those kind of labels are quite damaging because A, they're inaccurate, and B, they're inflammatory.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest thing with labels, actually, is you lose that sense of variety within a label. You know, you can say somebody, you know, we say somebody's good or bad, but actually it's just a, you know, a spectrum, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and that's the biggest damage with labels, is you just treat two things as completely different. You lose any sense that there's a lot of common ground or overlap. You dismiss them. You know, I mean, a lot of, you know, you saw, I mean, I know it's a few years ago now, but you take a sort of Brexit, you know, Brexiteer versus Remainer, you know, like there was nobody sitting in the middle thinking, well, you know, I'm a bit on base. Of course, you know, actually, probably the majority were in the middle. But, you know, when you split it into two camps, like, and there's this massive chasm in between them, I mean, it's just unrealistic. And actually, the interesting point is that middle area where people are, you know, working out which way to go. And it's really important what you say. You know, you call them anti-vax, you get a bit dismissive of them as, you know, the word stupid come out because you feel, well, dismissing all vaccines is stupid. But actually having a rational concern about one particular one.
Absolutely.
Or, it's very reasonable.
What an interesting discussion. I'm delighted we've had it. There's more in the book, of course. It's called The Art of Discussion, and it's never been more important now, in my view, to kind of try and put this genie back in the bottle if we can, and let's get back to the days where we could all have sensible discussions and have maybe differing points of views without all falling out about it. I think the world would be a much better place if we can get back to that, James. Thank you for writing it. Thank you for coming on. Glad we sorted out our technical issues. You have yourself a nice day, and we'll speak again soon. All the best.
Thank you. It's really nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. James Wyatt, his book is called The Art of Discussion, and you can get that book from our website, tre.radio.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Springhill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Springhill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.